You're listening to The Dollop. This is a bi-weekly American history podcast. Each week, I, Dave Anthony, an American comedian, reads a story to his friend,
Gareth Reynolds, who has no idea what the topic is going to be about. Why? What just happened? Why are you all of a sudden you're promoting yourself as an American comedian?
It's Trump's world, baby.
That doesn't even match
up. I'm an American.
Yeah, but
if you don't say you're an American, you can go to jail.
Is that true?
I read it in a thing.
Well, listen, real news is an issue today. We need to get all the real news out of there.
What's happening here?
That, what do you mean? That's a this great taco place in La Jolla that they have like poker chips with their Don Carlos tacos, and they have these little poker chips with
What do the poker chips do?
He just has a bunch of like promotional stuff that he just like, you go, like when you go in there, if you're at like the La Jolla Comedy Store and you go in there, he just hooks you up.
And, honestly,
he's just like, he genuinely, like, to comics, he's like, you guys eat for free, just like send out a tweet about my place.
Oh, so that you can for free, this gives you an order or something.
No, I think it's just
a poker chip.
Yeah, I think it's a taco store poker chip.
It's just classic taco shop swag.
This is what put Taco Bell on the map.
God, you want to hit a dude?
I'll do one bump.
People say this is funny.
Not Gary, Gareth.
It's Dave, okay.
Someone or something is tickling people.
Is it for fun?
And this is not going to become the tickling podcast.
Okay.
You are Queen Fakey of Made Up Town.
All hail Queen Shit of Liesville.
A bunch of religious virgins go to mingle.
And do what?
Pray.
Hi, Gary.
No.
Nicely done, my friend.
No.
We're brought to you in part by Policy Genius. Look, if someone relies on you for financial support, whether it's a child or an aging parent or even a business partner, you need life insurance. Life insurance, it gives you peace of mind. So if something happens to you, your loved ones, they're going to have a financial cushion to pay for things like rent, mortgage, loans, education, just everything, daily expenses. And usually life insurance gets more expensive as you age. So it start a policy soon rather than, you know, waiting on it. So look, head over to policygenius.com and answer a few questions about yourself. And in just a few minutes, you can work out how much life insurance coverage you need. And then you compare personalized quotes to find your best price. You could save 50% or more on life insurance by comparing quotes with Policy Genius. And they work for you. So Policy Genius works for you, not the insurance companies. So you can trust them to offer unbiased help and advocate for you at every step until you're covered. They don't add on extra fees. They don't sell your info to third parties. So head to policygenius.com to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you could save. That's policygenius.com. We are brought to you in part by Zen Business. Look, a lot of people right now, the great resignation is on. They're like, out of their jobs. They're like, I don't want to do this anymore. I want more control over my life. I want a better life. I don't want a boss man telling me what to do. And so a lot of people are starting their own business. Zen Business is very, very helpful. They got an all-in-one platform. It guides you as a new entrepreneur through all the stuff you have to go through to get it going, an LLC or whatever you're going to set up. Got a super easy pricing structure. Starts as low as $49. And then look, they're not going to hit you with a bunch of hidden fees. It's all very straightforward. What they say is what it is. They have a very fast and simple business formation for LLC and other business structures. Worry-free compliance and annual filings, so you can stay in good standing with the state. You can secure an employee ID number so you can open a bank account, hire employees, protect your personal, all that stuff. I wish I had Zen Business when I started my business. It would have freed up all that time I spent on paperwork and all that stuff, so I could have just focused on the business. So look, Zen Business has helped hundreds of thousands of people get their business off the ground by guiding them every step of the way and making it easier to launch a successful business. Get started today for as low as $49 at zenbusiness.com/dollop. That's zenbusiness.com/dollop. September 1956!
Okay. It started, hasn't it?
Coronado, California.
All right.
A woman was attacked as she walked on a street and one of her shoes was stolen.
Okay.
No one really made note of it. Just a strange thing that happened at night. But the attacks continued. No one in the press put it together until 4 months later.
They hired a gumshoe.
In February 1957.
Okay.
What is it? Why do they call him a gumshoe?
No idea.
Oh, God. Now I'm going to get a ton of tweets.
Hey, stupid.
the first story of the Shoe Bandit was printed.
Whoa,
quote,
whoa.
What?
Whoa.
What?
The Shoe Bandit.
Quote, an eccentric young thug who attacks women to steal their shoes found a fifth victim when 24-year-old aircraft clerk typist was slugged in Claremont.
He's hitting them and then taking their shoes?
Yeah, he's not. He's not. He's not a gentle shoe bandit.
So he is beating them up and then taking one shoe.
Well, he just hit her, knocked her down, and then took her shoe. Yeah, it's one shoe.
Just one shoe.
Just took one shoe.
Well, usually, I guess he's not the shoes bandit. So
there you go.
That makes sense.
There you go.
Okay, a little too encouraging, especially from you.
The woman was walking home from the bus stop after leaving work one evening, and a man came up behind her, knocked her to the ground, and took one of her shoes. He did not attempt to take her purse or anything else of value, just her shoe.
Okay.
The attacks kept coming.
Okay.
By September of 1957, there were at least 12 cases of shoe bandit attacks.
Wow. Okay.
And they weren't always spread out. On two nights, he attacked separate women in what was basically a one-man shoe-snatching frenzy. So most nights, he only took one, but on these two different nights, he got greedy. He got greedy.
He's getting cocky.
He got one shoe. He's like, I got to go for more.
Right, yeah.
And he took another.
Okay.
Newspaper columnists started writing about the bandit because everyone in town was talking about him.
Okay.
One was titled Shoe Bandit Talk. It told the story of a man who was giving his wife shit for, quote, living recklessly by wearing a new pair of shoes after dark on their 10th wedding anniversary.
Wow. Now, okay, is that just like an after-school special version, or that is real?
That's a guy really did that.
And then did her shoe get taken?
No, but the husband was like, you're making us marks!
Quit showing off!
Good God, lady! I love you, but this is too much!
I can't.
I get that it's our 10th, and it's a special night.
Look.
But I don't want to see you laying on the ground with one shoe on, baby.
I'll be fine.
You'll be fine. You make me sick. You're taking chances.
The idea that you just got to walk, she has to like walk home barefoot, like, well, okay, I'll be safe. Oh, damn it.
What a fucking asshole. I'm betting there was not a lot of sex that night.
The night of the shoe argument?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no sex.
Yeah.
Although it is the 50s, so, you know.
Yeah. So shoe fear was kicking in. Even men were getting...
Shoe fear? But he's only attacking women.
Yeah, but the men were getting afraid...
For their wives
right. Or their daughters or
right.
Whatever.
Right, okay.
The cities of San Diego and Coronado were on edge. Entire families were targets. One mother... of one of the very first victims was attacked, and her shoe was also taken.
It's just... might be a genetic thing.
It might be a genetic thing. He might like the way they walked.
Yeah. Or he's just crazy and is like, I'm going to make your family really, really weird.
I'm going after your whole goddamn family.
I'm
going
to get a shoe from each one of you ladies.
How cold is your left foot?
I'm working my way through the whole Thompson family.
Jack Murphy, who was a popular local sports columnist, so popular the local baseball stadium would be named after him.
Okay.
Wrote in September 1957 in a column, he wrote, gals in San Diego wonder if they should go barefoot until the shoe bandit is caught.
Wow. That is what you do, though.
That's what
ice him
do.
Out.
Yeah. Ice fucking take
Shoeless.
Away his power.
Yeah.
Take away his power.
Yeah. Or sandals.
Flip flops. Oh, they might like flip flops.
Yeah. He might like anything.
Yeah, anything that's off a foot.
Nah, okay. This has to be based around some sort of sexual perversion, though.
Oh, of course.
Obviously. I mean, he's taking these shoes home, putting them in a pile, and then fucking them.
Well, that's what I would do.
David?
I mean, that's what I do anyway.
Sorry?
This is why I am part of the Shoe Month Club.
The Shoe Month Club?
Yep. They send me piles of shoes that I fuck, and then I pick one that I like, and I send the rest back. Shoe Club.
Sir, the idea is that you just pick one of the pairs of shoes.
That's not what I... thought when I made the order at first.
Look, lady, this email isn't going to get the jizz out of your shoes.
You did not explicitly say I could not fuck the shoes when you sent me the shoes.
Dear Shoe Month Club.
Bad things are happening. Signed, Dave. We got a very weird letter. The shoe bandit attacked women when they were walking home at night from the bus or the ferry. He'd knock them to the ground and steal one shoe. It was usually the left shoe.
Weird there, too.
Yep. But he had other methods. He would also sneak into homes and take leather pumps, silhouettos, and sandals. Hundreds of shoes. And often, he'd toss them out in crawl spaces below other homes. Now, that makes me
think.
Wow,
that's real weird.
Okay, so that makes me think. He goes into a house, right? He grabs a nice pump, something leather, something maybe a little bit spicy.
What?
And then he runs out of the house. And then he finds the nearest dark place.
You think he goes and shoe fucks right away?
I think he shoe fucks right away.
Wow.
I think he's jerking off. And then
that was making me think maybe he's not being intimate with the shoes.
I don't know if he's fucking the shoe, but I think
he's basically, long story short, the shoe is used in a perverted way.
The shoe's used in a perverted way, and I think
he's smelling it.
He's getting himself off.
He's screwing it. He's putting
he's
the heel in
it.
His butt and running around like it's a little tail.
And then he jerks off and then he puts the shoe down and goes, "You're a whore," and he runs away.
Yeah,
from
that's
the
thing too. Just like like the idea that you're leading the shoes on.
Right.
Taking the shoe, whining and dining it in an alley with your penis. That's, next thing you know, it's okay. Thrown out like yesterday's pump. All been there. That's
story.
Basically the Hollywood story I've lived. I'm the pump.
Not me.
And the shoe bandit is everyone who wants me for work.
Disagree.
Okay.
While most victims just had a bump or a bruise, some women were seriously injured. Women were hospitalized with fractured skulls or broken bones.
So he's really ramming these.
Yeah, he's knocking them down. He's not fucking around. He wants that shoe.
Right.
One woman was actually struck from behind with a bowling pin.
Whoa.
Before the shoe was removed.
What?
And that seems like a...
So he's he can be extremely violent.
That seems like a crime of opportunity, the bowling pin.
Also, it definitely is like, it's not surprising to find out that this shoe bandit is probably a pretty avid bowler.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
There's no way he didn't spend tons of times in bowling alleys.
Yeah, where the guy's like, "Hey, are you returning those shoes? Yeah, let me just go to the locker room real quick. I want to put on my striking glove."
Sir, are you going to order? You're just going to stand at the counter. I'm standing at the counter.
So wait, the shoes that you're trading in for new shoes are also bowling shoes?
Oh, God. Oh,
all right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Get out.
Bowling.
Now.
But I'm bowling.
Get out now.
Hey, can I ask you a question?
No.
What's going on with that pump?
I said no.
Sir.
Get out now.
Here's a 10. This is $10. It's all yours. You just tell me the story about that pump.
There's no story. It's just a shoe. Get out of here.
Does that pump look at you weird? Does it say anything?
No.
Does that pump, maybe have an
look,
accent?
Take the shoe. Go bang the shoe. Go bang these shoes.
Hi, Louisa.
Whoa. Aloisa.
Yeah.
All right.
That went weird. Another woman was hit with the butt end of a screwdriver. That's not as bad as a bowling.
Nope.
I should have gone screwdriver first and then bowling.
Absolutely.
Helen Battleson was a Coronado teenager at the time of the attacks. Quote, "It was creepy. All the women in town were scared." Men weren't too thrilled about it either. Bill Guise was just a teenager when the shoe bandit entered his Coronado home at 1 a.m.
Okay.
His mom woke up and screamed at the man who was holding shoes in her closet.
Wow.
I would scream at that person too.
This is so crazy.
There's something about someone being in your closet that's more fucked up than them being in your room.
Shoes.
Yeah. The shoe bandit dropped the shoes and dashed out of the house. Up until now, Coronado was a place of little crime, so no one was locking their doors.
Well, it's, yeah.
This enabled the shoe bandit to easily enter homes in the dead of the night while the occupants slept
and take shoes.
The stories that appeared were small at first, just little two or three paragraph items somewhere in the middle of the paper, almost filler. But soon the shoe bandit stories started hitting the front page, and the entire town was saying, "What the fuck?" The community's alarm increased. Teasers of evening news broadcasts would ask, "What makes the shoe bandit tick? Find out at 10. Well, I think he likes shoes.
An interview with his ex-wife. I loved him.
I loved him, but I love shoes, too. Whenever an attack happened, the news would break into a program on TV and say, the left shoe bandit has struck again.
Wow, yeah, this is really like media catnip.
Children watching TV were becoming concerned because the adults seemed so worried, quote, really upset, terrified. And when they asked the grown-ups what was going on, the grown-ups would just change the subject.
Do you like crayons?
I want to know about the shoe bandit.
Have you ever drank water, Tim? I forget.
Yeah, but...
Okay. Okay, well, that's the end of talking.
Why were you crying looking at shoes?
Oh, I wasn't crying. No, no, no. No, I was sweating.
Why did... Okay.
Yeah. Remember dinosaurs? Look at that nickel.
What?
Scissors. New car? Sunlight.
I'm...
Running.
Hi.
People started buying dogs and guns.
Sure. Well, smart.
This led to the death of an Ocean Beach boy. His father bought a gun to protect the family from the shoe bandit, but soon enough, the four-year-old found the gun in a box by the bed and accidentally shot himself in the chest.
Well, I mean, obviously, there's no onus on the father there. He put it in a box.
I mean, he put it in a great place, a box by the bed. Two things they say. Number one, keep your gun in a box.
Yep.
And number two, keep it in the bed so you can wake up groggy and shoot a friend.
Yep.
Cops started getting heat for not catching the madman. So they started sending undercover officers onto buses and the Coronado Ferry.
Okay.
That didn't go great either, because a new passenger no one had seen before, keeping an eye on everyone, roused suspicion.
Wait, a new passenger? Like, they were so... bus was full of so many consistent people?
It's not a huge town, so when you ride the ferry at the same time every day, you see the same people.
Right.
But all of a sudden, there's a guy, like, looking intently in, you know... They, on two separate occasions.
They are going to eventually send out decoy shoe models, right?
I would.
Yeah.
I don't think there are any female cops at this point. Okay. No, I mean, it's the 50s. Can't be.
No way.
On two separate nights, vigilantes beat up an undercover cop they thought was the bandit.
Oh, God. Hey, keep saying he's the cop. Worst cover ever. Curb him.
Because the other thing they're doing is they're following women in case the shoe bandit is going to attack the women.
The cops are.
Yeah.
So then when people see that they're following women, they're like, shoe bandit!
Yeah. Twice the cops announced they had a suspect that they had brought in for questioning. The newspapers then ran photos of the suspects along with their home addresses, which you did at the time.
Amazing.
That was you also did that with the victims because everyone was insane back then.
Terrible.
But remember that, I don't know when it stopped.
There was one, yeah, there was one.
In the 50s, they were still doing it.
Right, yeah, we talked about this on another one.
Both suspects were cleared in lineups. And even, but imagine that, like your name is out there as the fucking shoe bandit.
Oh, yeah.
Your address is out there, shoe bandit, and then they're like, that's not him. And you're like, you fucked me, though.
Yeah.
And even the undercover cops just had plain bad luck. It seems like every time a cop trailed a woman home, she would get there with no problems. One time an officer had to choose between one of two women. The one he decided to follow got home. The other one was attacked by the shoe bandit.
Hmm. How is he, pardon the pun, one step ahead?
Then on May 8th, 1958, over a year and a half since the shoe nightmare began.
Shoe nightmare.
A woman was watching TV with her boyfriend in her Coronado house. The boyfriend was a Navy officer. They noticed that a just barely opened door suddenly opened wider.
Hmm.
Then they looked over the back of the couch they were sitting on and saw a man crawling on the floor.
Oh, my God. He's really desperate.
Yeah. I mean, I need
a fix. One more fucking hit.
I haven't smelled a shoe in like 8 hours.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, fuck me. What's that, leather?
Your pump.
Oh, God, lady, you don't wash your feet. It's tremendous.
Oh, just let me suck the heel for a dollar.
Oh, what you're doing is tremendous.
I'm just going to lick the bottom a little bit. No, oh, that's yummy.
When they saw him...
Oh, I feel so good.
Can you leave?
Well, anyway, I got to get up early.
Okay.
So,
That was terrible.
Good to... have sex with your shoe. I just got an early morning.
Okay, let's not do this again.
We should do this again sometime, though. I'd love to not. Take the shoe out for a meal, maybe a movie.
I don't want to be...
It's just the next couple weeks are pretty booked for me, but...
I'm going to cut off my feet.
Well, if you do, Let me know. Oh, I know a perfect place to put them. My tub.
So when they see the guy, he jumps up and runs from the house. And the Navy boyfriend chases him and catches up to him. And then they had a fist fight in the street.
Okay.
Hearing the fight, other neighbors called the police. And when the cops arrived, the fight was over. So they started searching and found the shoe bandit hiding behind a lawn chair in a backyard. And they arrested him. I love that he's behind a lawn chair.
It's terrific.
No one will see me here.
I thought I was a chameleon.
His name was Wayne Snow McFarland.
All right.
He was 23.
Wow.
A Navy pilot.
Okay.
Who had been raised in Houston and was now stationed at North Island.
Houston.
When...
Go ahead.
Well done.
Thank you.
When questioned, he denied being the shoe bandit. I'm not the shoe bandit.
Nope. But not me. I love gloves.
Nope. He was just a guy crawling on the floor in somebody's house.
Okay.
I mean, that's a hard thing to... No, that's what I'm saying. Like, okay. He's like, I'm not the shoe bandit. I was just crawling in somebody's house.
I just like to watch movies when people are watching movies.
They got a warrant to search his Coronado apartment and found several women's shoes in a trunk.
Oh.
They brought the shoes to the police station and confronted McFarland with them.
I assume that was going
to be hard to explain, so he confessed.
All right. I did it.
I done it. Don't touch my baby.
I'll tell you where the other ones are buried, too.
At that point, he led the cops to a few nearby stashes of women's shoes.
He did have stashes.
So now he's thinking of more.
Here's another one.
It's like, then this one, and then, oh, boy. Yep, stop here. Okay, drive another block. Stop here.
Over here, the shoes were struggling.
Oh, that so was a naughty one.
Had sex with him one last time before I buried him near the ravine.
It's a naughty shoe. He admitted to 22 assaults and 15 burglaries, but the police thought that number was very, very low. When questioned by the press, McFarland said, all I know is I had to get those shoes.
Well, we have a lot. That's the one thing we know.
That's all I know.
That's all we know.
That's all I had going on.
What's the rest of your deal?
Gotta get the shoes.
What did your mom do to you with
Gotta
shoes?
Gotta get the shoes. That's all I know.
Okay. This is a terrible press conference.
McFarland's father, Morris, was a furniture store owner, and he had money. So he hired a cocky Texas defense lawyer named Percy Foreman.
Sure.
Foreman was a former prosecutor who was 6'4" and weighed 250 pounds. He also carried around a newspaper clipping that described him as, quote, a millionaire who practices law as a hobby.
Well, you know it's true if you're carrying around like a decoupage newspaper clip to show off.
You know, before we talk, why don't you read my press clip?
Okay. What is this? Just read the laminated. Read the laminated article.
I'll be right here looking at you.
Now, does this behavior make you believe I am a millionaire, as it should?
One reporter asked him about reports claiming he was the greatest lawyer since Clarence Darrow, and Foreman replied, quote, I wouldn't say it, son, but when accused of it, I don't deny it.
Oh, boy.
I'm a fucking asshole.
This guy.
Foreman immediately made the case that the issue wasn't McFarland's guilt, but his mental state.
Okay.
Quote, the human mind is a wonderful mechanism, but it only takes a little thing to set it off balance. The shoe bandit pled not guilty by reason of insanity.
Sure. Okay.
At the preliminary hearing, 8 women ID'd him as the bandit. One witness said his eyes were, quote, staring and full of violence.
Well,
I get that.
Yeah, I mean, if he's sure, maybe that must have been the bowling pin lady.
When I was dating, I would put that on my profile.
You should do what I do. Just carry around a newspaper article about yourself that's laminated.
That's a good idea.
That says you're a millionaire.
McFarland was then sent to Patton State Hospital near San Bernardino for a mental evaluation.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know that Patton Oswalt had a state hospital.
Oh, yeah. No, he did. That was before he got into stand-up. He ran a mental institution.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. Very well, too.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So he's examined, and the doctor diagnosed him as a sexual psychopath with a shoe fetish.
All right. We've heard it before.
But look, if you're going to be a sexual psychopath, a fucking shoe fetish is good for everybody.
There's this documentary called I Married the Eiffel Tower or something like that.
Yeah.
About the love of inanimate objects.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes that bond is real.
You ever seen one about guys who love cars and actually fuck cars?
In that documentary, there is a guy who like goes to car shows and like, you know, has sex with cars.
Yeah.
And it's the weirdest because they're filming him and he's like asking a guy about the car. He's like, this is a beautiful model. But then the guy's like, oh yeah, thinking he's trying to sell it, not knowing that like 20 minutes later he's gonna be like, hey, why's the fuel tank open? Oh my God.
And yeah, that's the thing. If you want to know where people fuck cars, they do it between the seats. And they can fuck the tailpipe. They'll put something in there and fuck it. Anyway, that's a little bit of knowledge you didn't need.
Yes, that is actually the next evolution in our signing policy.
We fuck cars.
Yeah.
If we could make, here's something I want to ask. If we could make a decal of our signatures to put on cars, would you want that?
Yeah.
Tell us. So the doctor noted that the shoe fetish went back as far as elementary school when he stole a pair of shoes from a teacher.
Okay.
But the doctor also said McFarlane was sane during his shoe stealing spree and that he knew the difference between right and wrong. So that fucks up the...
Yeah, that messes up the entire defense.
Back in San Diego, he pled guilty to one count of robbery and one count of burglary. Each carried a sentence of 5 years to life. But instead of being sent to prison, he was sent to a Tascadero State Hospital, which is a mental hospital for violent people.
Okay.
6 months after he was caught, a plumber was working below the floor of the officers' quarters on North Island, where McFarlane had been living.
Oh, boy.
There he found two bags packed with 133 women's shoes.
Ah.
And there was more. Women's underwear and clothing were also in the bag. And a 1955 novel called Beyond Desire by Pierre Lemieux.
So he's just like reading like kind of pervy stories while he's like just massaging himself and like with like shoes and panties.
Yeah. After a year at a Tascadero State Hospital, the doctor...
Like, you thought getting walked in on jerking off was awkward.
It can get so much more
like
awkward.
If you're rolling around in shoes with, like, a bra on your head with panties in your mouth, it's like, is that what it look like? Honey, for the last time, I'm opening a woman's clothing store.
This is hazing.
This is hazing. I'm joining a frat for 50-year-olds.
After a year at a Tascadero State Hospital, the doctors said they had successfully treated McFarlane and he was no longer a threat to the public. Foreman asked
He now only wants to jerk off into mittens.
And socks.
And hats. And shoes. Shoes.
Pants.
Still,
also
pants too. Everything.
We have him jerking off about wardrobes.
Thank you.
Entire, we've fixed him.
The man is cured.
Now he's like me.
He's just like us.
So then his attorney Foreman asked the court that McFarlane be put on probation so he could get a job and pay back all his victims for their shoe costs.
Oh God, you know he wants to go into cobbling.
But isn't that the thing to do? Isn't that what you should do? Shouldn't you go into cobbling and then people are bringing you shoes that you can fuck?
No. Oh, yeah, sorry. My take was what's the right thing to do. Your pitch is if you're the psychotic pervert, wouldn't you just go, yeah, for sure.
I wonder if that was part of his parole when he got paroled.
Yeah.
You cannot become a cobbler. Gah!
I'd like to work at an equestrian center.
Eh?
Horseshoes.
The district attorney was not down with the plan. Quote, Don Keller objected. This man came to San Diego and gave unrestrained vent to violence and terror, for which I would challenge anyone to find a parallel in San Diego, California. The only parallel I can think of is Jack the Ripper. All right, so the DA was a little over the top.
Yeah, honestly. I mean, relax a little bit.
Yeah, also...
Jack the Ripper.
You know, the Night Stalker's coming, so why don't you fucking dial it back a little bit?
Everyone settle down.
Judge Clarence Hardin agreed with the DA, saying the community would be shocked if he allowed McFarlane to roam the streets on probation. He sentenced McFarlane to 10 years to life. He served his 10 years and eventually was released and moved back to Texas, where he died in 1999.
Oh, wow.
I wonder if they buried him with shoes.
Yeah, hopefully.
That had to have been... I wish that if we could know that, because I guarantee you he wanted to be
buried. Or like the reading of his will, too. To my dearest Debbie, I leave 300 left shoes that I stole from women. And to my son, Jack, sorry Daddy's not going to be here for you anymore. Hopefully this suitcase stuffed with used bras and panties will help raise you. Nice. Anyways,
in my coffin, I'd like a bunch of socks and shoes.
Miss you.
Miss you. Love you. Seriously, lots of shoes.
Not kidding.
Make it hard to close.
Oh, make it hard.
All right. The shoe bandit.
Everybody lost.
Yes. Yep.
Good night, Texas. Yeah,
thank you. We screw cars.